I'm Tom Morello,
host of Maximum Firepower,
a weekly podcast focusing on the music, the moments, and the movements that have shaped my worldview and left an indelible mark on me as an artist and activist.
Come correct with Maximum Firepower.
Redwood Forest, Gulf Stream waters.
This land was made for you and me.
This is Tom Morello's Maximum Firepower.
I'm Tom Morello. This is Maximum Firepower. My guest today is a spectacular firebrand young artist named Phem. That's P-H-E-M. She makes an appearance on my new album, The Atlas Underground Fire, on a song that we did together called Night Witch. She is currently on tour. We're recording this when she's up in Seattle in an alley. What's going on, Phem? How are you?
It's good to see you, Tom. Of course. Always a pleasure. I actually have been listening to your album a lot while being... on the road, driving. It's a good driving album.
Right. I'm pleased to hear that, helping to while away the hours. So let's just start. Like, I just want to sort of explain to folks, like, well, I made this record kind of in the plague times, in total isolation, and a number of the artists who appear on it are people that I've known for a while, from like Bruce Springsteen to the guys in Refused to Fantagram. But there are artists that I discovered, that I loved and discovered during this time, and you were one of them. You know, like, your name sort of came at me from a couple of different places. Sometimes I sort of reach out to friends and go, like, tell me a great song that you've heard recently from an artist that I may not be familiar with. And, like, you came up, you know what I'm saying? So then I, like, yeah, so I reached into your catalog there, and just spectacular. And you're just like, you're so cool and so badass, and I really appreciate you. So anyway, I reached out, not having any idea whether perhaps you've heard of any of my catalog. Like, hi, my name's Tom. Would like to do a song, maybe. And you were enthusiastic, which I was pleased to hear.
Fuck yeah, dude. Of course. You're a legend.
So what was that? We first connected, and how was that?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I got a text, and it was like, hi, this is Tom Morello. And I was like, for sure. Okay, cool. Tom Morello just texted me. The fuck?
Yeah, you've won a contest.
I'm like, is this real life? And I happened to have been in a session when you texted me, so I was like, cool, send the tracks over like right now. And you sent me like, I think, three different instrumentals, and yep. I did a couple because I was like, there's no way in hell I'm not ending up on this album. I'm gonna give him options.
Yeah,
because fuck it. And then the Night Witch, that song, like I had said before, it really reminded me of Bjork.
Mm.
I just knew I could like sing well on it. Like I could like let it rip a little bit more. So
yeah, you just came chart. I remember like it happened really fast. Like I sent you three. Kill Dave and I made those tracks, and he's a great producer. And I sent him a bunch of riffs, and he kind of like helped me put them together in tracks, and you responded to them immediately. And I was like, well, we have our choice of a number of them that sound pretty great. So anyway, so the song Night Witch, how it kind of came about was you sent these great vocals. There were great hooks. There was great lyrics to it. And I thought like, maybe we can give it like some kind of, you know, sort of take it out of the now and give it some sort of historical context. So I had the notion to make it about the Night Witches. The Night Witches were an all-female bombing squad in World War II in the Red Army who blew the shit out of the Nazis. It was like all
so
women.
Dope.
And they flew in gliders, and the sound that the gliders made from the ground, someone might mistake for like a witch's broom going overhead. And at first, the Germans, like the bad guys, called them witches because in a, like a derogatory way, but they came to sort of own that title and own that name. So I thought, what if we take this kind of dark romantic breakup song and put it in the cockpit of a World War II bomber, and all of a sudden it came together, and it was really, really great. It's one of my favorite songs on the record, and you know, I recorded a lot of songs for this, but I was like, for sure that's going to be one of the 12.
So dope. Yeah, I know. I remember you sent me like an article explaining what a Night Witch was, and I was like, whoa, okay, awesome, like that's even better. I'm like, we don't need another like just distressed love song. We can like spin it and make it more interesting. I'm like, okay, I see you, Tom. I see you. I get it.
I love your vocals on the record. So tell me, you know, is like, who's on your Mount Rushmore of vocalists? Like, who's your, give me, you can change your mind tomorrow, just off the top of your head, give me your four.
I mean, honestly, I think Bjork is like amazing. Yeah. I know this is like totally like a different genre, but I love Doja Cat. Yeah, sure. Think that she, the way that she like does her melodies is crazy. I don't know her name, but the singer of Fanagram is actually one of my favorite singers, and that track is fire. That's a great driving track, obviously. And it's also like that's in the title, but I don't know. Who else do I love as a vocalist? Who else do I like? I'm brain dead, you guys. I'm sorry. I'm
that's like, all right. We'll take three. It can be a three-headed Mount Rushmore. It's totally.
I like Cher too. I like Cher because I feel like she was really instrumental in like the auto-tune thing. Like she was like the OG T-Pain. Like even in his documentary, he was like when he heard. And I just think Cher is just such a badass.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She did a lot of like cool experimental things with her voice, which I appreciate.
Yeah, let's talk about Cher for a second, because that's going to sort of lean into the next thing I want to talk about. Like, she's iconic for a number of reasons, but I remember as a, you know, growing up in a small, super homophobic town in Illinois, right? Super homophobic town, that there was always something about Cher, and I sort of remember hearing, and this is like without social media, like sort of hearing that like the, like she had a connection to the LGBT community. Like this is decades ago, like decades and decades and decades ago, in a way that kind of gave sustenance to people in small towns like mine. You know what I mean? Like she was like sort of a hero and a champion and an icon. That anyway,
right.
So I had texted you last night. I was like, what are some areas that you'd like? Let's talk, because I know a little bit about kind of your fan base, and there's like a rabid contingent of your fan base. And so like talk about how the idea of sexuality or fluid sexuality sort of feeds into your art and your fans.
I'm a queer person. I, you know, I've dated women, I've dated men, I've dated non-binary people. Like I don't really identify. I mean, I go with the she, her pronouns because I don't need to necessarily change them, like to be comfortable in my own skin. But I do consider myself like non-binary in a lot of ways because I don't think that I fit into the norm, gender norm of like what a female is. And, you know, growing up, like it was a little difficult to explain that to my parents. I think they were just like, what? I don't understand. And so I kind of just like kept it low key, but being in music and like writing about that feeling and that experience, like helped me figure out that it's okay to feel that way. And there's so many other people that do. So it is a big subject in a lot of the music that I make. And I do think it's really important as an artist, you know, to be able to express yourself and your sexuality through your music. And it's the place to do it. Like, you know, for Cher or for anyone else, like being a voice for people who don't feel represented in music, I feel good about that, you know, and it helped me figure out a lot of things too. So
yeah, I mean, music is not just, one of the things I think is important is that music is not just an act of creation, it's an act of self-creation, and you help discover like who you are through the process of creating music. And that's, you know, that's sort of like one of the hidden benefits. You think like when you pick up a guitar, like I want to sound like a guy in this band, but like as you sort of blossom into a musician or an artist or whatever sort of lane of it you lean into, you find out who you are in ways that you could not have otherwise.
Wow. You literally have, you said that so perfectly. Like, I feel like I've been trying to explain that, but that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a gift for everyone involved.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And that's the surprise of it too. Like, that's why I remember really early on when I moved to Hollywood, the singer of the band I was in, he was friends with, Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction. Perry was always this kind of like font of wisdom. And one thing he said to me is like, everyone should write songs. Like everyone is a poet. Like the reason why you're not writing poetry is because you've squashed that part of yourself. Everyone is a poet. And like you find it really helps you. You don't have to, your poems don't have to be in a bound book in the Library of Congress. You know, they can be in your heart or written on a piece of paper, or you can tell them to someone or put them in a song. But it's
right.
The process of art is really one of self-discovery, which whether it's painting this, that, or other. But I think music in particular, having the current, what I used to teach guitar lessons to like around Hollywood, and when people would come, absolute beginners would come, and on the first day, but before they left in that first hour, if they had never touched an instrument before, I would have them write a song.
Wow.
And so it would like sort of, even if they, you know, like the second dot hit that three, like to demystify the idea that people who write songs, the people that tap into the songwriting thing are some magical people. They're not.
Right. Right.
You and I have met a lot of them. They're not. Trust us. They're not so magical. They're not. and really, it takes nothing other than like the will to do it to be a songwriter, mm-hmm. and it has a lot of great benefits to that on the side. So anyway.
Yeah, and letting go of the self judgment, right? I think that's maybe the biggest tool is like, because if you're pent up and you don't want to release anything because you're just too critical on yourself, it's difficult to be creative, you know?
That happens a lot.
Whoever got guitar lessons from you is a very special person. I can't even imagine being like, hey, Mom, can you take me to my guitar lesson?
Yeah, so I mean, crazy. It is fun. I had this little like one room apartment in Hollywood, and I don't know why, like, you know, dads would drop their kids off and whatnot. I'm like, I all you have to do is go by my word that like I'm not some super shady dude. You
know? I know. crazy.
But anyway, it was helpful to like when I started playing guitar, I took two really shitty guitar lessons that made me not play guitar for 4 years. I put the guitar away. And so I had that in my mind when I started teaching other people, like you have to, because that bar right at the beginning, if you get squashed, you're never, you're done and you're out forever. And who knows, you might be Mozart or Eddie Van Halen or whatever, but you're done if you get that.
Was it just like they didn't speak to you kindly or they were judgmental?
I loved music. At the time it was like Kiss and Led Zeppelin for me. Like I loved those bands and I bought a music book and I wanted to learn Detroit Rock City and I wanted to learn Black Dog. And I went in, I was like, teach me these magical songs that I'm so, and they were like, today we're going to learn how to tune the guitar. I'm like, okay, that sounds super boring, but I'll pay my dues. And the next day I went back, I'm like, okay, today we're going to learn the C major scale. I'm like, I'm out. Like, I'm out.
They didn't capitalize on the hunger that you had in the moment.
No. Yeah. It's music. It's called playing guitar, not working guitar. You know what I mean? Right. I didn't want to work. My guest today on Maximum Firepower is singer, songwriter, awesome, badass femme. Let's talk a little bit about mental health and, you know, musicians and gentlemen, but that is that a theme that runs in your music? Because I had a long sort of lovely and in the end sort of tragic relationship with my good friend Chris Cornell, who wrestled with demons kind of his whole life. And so the ideas of, and there's been, you know, in my own family, like there had an aunt who like dealt with mental health issues. So as someone who has, you know, a microphone, like, how is it that you discuss those issues with, you know, either friends or the public?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, definitely during COVID, it's like everyone, you know, it's like you can't even be like, hey, I mean, everyone experienced it. So everyone's story is valid in that sense. And I do think COVID brought that into light. Like, everyone should have a therapist. Everyone should be working on their mental health, like just as much as they're exercising or doing anything else. I'm very like careful about what I say on stage, because like these people who come to see any artist are like so malleable, and I'm like, dude, I'm just like anyone else. Like, I don't have the answers, you know, but like I do kind of try to explain like my experience with intuition and how it's so easy to get caught up in everyone else's opinions and what they think you should be doing, you know, like even parents, like my parents didn't really want me in music, but when you have that feeling, you know, you have to follow it and it's always right. I always feel like intuition's always the best thing, you know, hands down. And when you ignore it, it gets weaker. And that's scary. Yeah. That sucks. Cause then you have no clue. You're just like a rag doll in the wind, like that person said that, wait, now I should do that. And like, I do see it like with a lot of creatives where they start with something so cool. And then they're like, wait a minute, that person's doing that. Should I do that now? And then you see their art, like kind of like disintegrate. And it's like such a sad thing. And I think, you know, I definitely got caught up in that during COVID. Cause I was like, fuck, like, what do I do? Like, I just felt like everything was like collapsing. And I made choices based on like, you know, what like people who work at labels would think, which is so stupid. Or I did a few things that probably no one would notice, but then I had to like get back on track and when I dropped Flowers, that song was a song that I just love so much. And the feedback was so good that I was like, okay, that's it. I'm not like listening to anyone else, because a lot of people right. didn't want that song to come out, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know about like the overall mental health. Like for me, I do think keeping a routine, meditating, having a creative outlet, things like that. But I think overall intuition and trusting yourself like helps with so many life decisions. That's all I have for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, my take is like, I always, you know, self-identify as like, I'm the fixer. I'm the type A guy. Like I'm the rock and everybody else can have problems, but I'm the, until lockdown. And then all of a sudden, you know, at, mm-hmm. you know, 56 years old, like all of a sudden I'm like, my wagon has some kind of crookedy wheels on it too, you know? And that was a real like revelation that it's not like the way that you sort of always kind of see yourself, that can change, but it's okay. You know, like it's okay. Like there's, if you have a cold, there's cold medicine. You break your arm, there's ways, you know, you're not alone, and there are ways to wrestle with and to deal with proactively and constructively. And I think, and that I think is a very important message to get out, because I mean, I grew up in a time like where mental health issues were a total stigma. Like I never met anybody that ever met anybody that went to therapy. You know what I mean?
It's like crazy.
Yeah. Like everybody would just sort of like, I'm not crazy, but, and so, or even would acknowledge that they had sort of feelings, you know, even acknowledge that. And so to be able to, one, it's that's why in some ways, like this record, this is the record that Night Witch is on, is the 21st album that I've made. You know,
it's crazy.
It's just crazy. But it's in some ways, it's the first record where every one of those records has been authentic. And a lot of mm-hmm. times what is authentic for me is like Fight the Power songs and like songs right. like that. Right. But this record, I allowed room for what was really going on. You know, there's a couple. So there's the Chris Stapleton song and the mm-hmm. and the Bring Me the Horizon song, and even the Fanagram song, which are songs that allow like the personal to be front and center, and the struggle of the personal be not the union struggle or the Black Lives Matter struggle to be front and center. Right. It's like the personal right. struggle, like how am I going to get through Thursday and be okay and allow that into the art.
That's crazy. Congrats, by the way, on 21 albums. That's insane. Like
it is crazy.
But yeah, it's really cool. That's really cool to hear that, you know, you kind of like switched it up and even let your own creativity kind of go in different places.
Yeah. Yeah.
So also, like you look so good for like being in your 50s. Like I would never even know that.
57 right now, which is
crazy,
which is outrageous. First of all, it's like, it's nuts. It's just, it's crazy.
I think being an artist, like there's this weird, like power, youthful energy that people get, because I think they artists just age different. They don't even like,
The African part helps a little bit too. Let me tell you, that's a little bit of it too. okay. So let's, one of the things you sent me, like, again, I said last night, send me some stuff you'd like to talk about. And you sent me like four spectacular things.
But just options. You don't have
No. But I was like, fantastic. Tell me a little bit about the resurgence of rock and roll.
Oh yeah.
our listeners will be happy to hear about it.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Also Ali Hagendorf like helps with that so much. Like, thank God for her, because she's just like putting all these artists, you know, on the forefront on Spotify, which rules the musical world. So she really helps with that. But even like in my music, you know, I wouldn't consider myself like a rock person necessarily, but it's like becoming a part of the fabric in all different types of music, hip hop, you know, if you look at like MGK, it's like mm-hmm. meshing rap and rock, and it's so cool to see it be like the leading genre in every genre at this point. And it's just even more fun on stage, you know, like I haven't had a full band before this tour, and I have drummer, guitar player, bassist, and it just feeds the energy in such a different way.
Yeah. And I was gonna say it's cyclical. Like there's so many times where like people count rock and roll out, or they count the electric guitar out. And one of the reasons why I make specifically why I make these Atlas Underground records is to assert that not only is the guitar an important instrument, but it's an instrument with a future and not just a past. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
There's a lot of like sort of tradition associated with the instrument, and like the icons of it are people that made records 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But it's also an instrument that there's it does a thing that nothing else does. There's great music with plenty of great music without it. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it does
right.
it does a unique, there's a lane that you can't touch, you know, that when you feel that Marshall stack behind you or coming through the
right.
speakers, there's something about it that's very, very unique. So
yeah, no, totally. Yeah. It's fucking awesome. And
yeah.
it just keeps going.
So there may be a number of people listening who might not be so tuned into the, like, when you say rock and roll is resurgent, tell them who you're talking about, who they should check out.
Well, I mean, right now I'm on tour with a band called Water Parks. And, like, you know, I don't think by any means people would have considered them rock. I guess
yeah.
they're more like pop.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's so much music right now that's, like, so guitar heavy. It doesn't matter what genre, like, even if you're looking at, like, Young Thug, who's, like, charting right now on
yeah.
like all the iTunes, it's like he's a fucking rapper, but, like,
yes, yeah.
he has that in there too now. And even, like, I guess it kind of started, like, really again with, like, Juice WRLD, you know,
yeah,
like
yep.
which was, like, probably, like, 3 or 4 years ago now. And then after that, it really just started creeping into hip-hop. I don't know. It's just everywhere. Like, you can't really get away from it at this point. Like, whether or not you like rock or guitar music, it's going to be there. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's very, very encouraging. It's funny. It's like back in the day, there was when hip hop was first really, like, ascendant, and people were saying that there's not going to be any more electric guitars because we can sample the guitars.
Right.
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 You know, we have on records all the guitars we will ever need. Right.
Right.
And, you know, like, we're going to make the guitar obsolete. But I remember reading that and going, they can use samples to sound like an electric guitar. I can make an electric guitar sound like a sampler.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I'm going to try to outflank that, you know, and sort of come at it from an entirely different angle. All right. So you're on tour. So in conclusion, you're on. Let's hear some tour tips, because that's the last thing.
Well, I wanted that from you. I'm trying to get tour tips from you.
Okay. I can give you the tour. I have a lot of, first of all, I was like, this is the van tour. So you are in the real right now.
Literally. Two beds here, and then that's my bunk on the top. It's a converted passenger van.
That means you're doing it right. That means you mean it, and that means the people are going to believe every note. First of all, let me just point that out. But
crazy.
One of the key things that I have always taken great advantage of, and not everybody does who goes on rock and roll tours, is especially when you're in the van, is that you could, like, if you're in a tour bus or you're flying or whatever, you fly over a lot of stuff and you drive by a lot of stuff. Everywhere where you are, or everywhere between point A and B, has incredible stuff. And whether it's a particular Tex-Mex restaurant, or whether it's the grave of a fallen rock and roll, you know, icon or things like that, like, I would always research that stuff, and, you know, and found myself, you know, whether it's along a beautiful fjord in Norway or the place where Jesse James got shot. You know what I mean? Like, I used touring as a paid vacation to just check out the world. Otherwise,
awesome.
Otherwise, everywhere is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's an alley and a gig and a sound check and a this and a that. And you can, I was talking with this other band, this was years ago, and we were all in Paris. And I had been to the Louvre that day, and I'd been doing this, that, and the other. I was going to go to this other thing. And they were playing dominoes in their room. And one guy goes, "Paris sucks." I'm like, "Well, how would you know?" You haven't left the room.
Yeah, just stuck in the, yeah.
Exactly. You're stuck in the room. Yeah. Anyway. So.
That is a good tip.
It is. Yeah. So take advantage of that. But it looks like you guys are on the move. But Femme, I cannot thank you enough. So the record's The Atlas Underground Fire. My song with Femme is one of my favorites on it. It's called Night Witch. Check it out. And please check out her catalog. And if you're on tour, check her out. P-H-E-M, Femme.
Yeah. Your album's amazing. I've been, like, listening to it a lot. Thank you so much, Tom. Seriously. It means a lot.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm dreaming.
I appreciate you. You're great and you're badass and you're super cool. And stay safe out there and have a great time, and best to your band as well.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
I'll talk
to you soon. Okay. Thanks for having me.
Later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Until next time, take it easy, but take it.
Let foes of justice tremble.
This has been Tom Morello's Maximum Firepower.
Hear this episode again
or listen to past shows right now
on the SiriusXM app.
Search Maximum Firepower.